1, 2.
For the Road Movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a weekly movie pairing podcast. Every week we'll pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy based on the theme that he has not seen, watch, and discuss.
And we have a 25-year age difference, so we have different sets of movies that we've seen.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So our theme this week, we're rounding out. So this is November 30th when we're recording this, so we just squeezed in all the damn darkness we could for this month.
Yeah,
our Noirvember is it's wrapping up, and oh my god, man, it's just it's time for a break. Like, it's
especially, you know, I mean, the first one we watched today is kind of, it's from the 50s, so it's not too bad, but
we ended pretty darkly.
We ended up really darkly.
And that's my fault, but I can't believe I'd never seen that movie, so we had to watch Prisoners. That's the second movie we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's – and, like, you know, we're in Burlington, Vermont. So like, the weather is getting crappier, and mm-hmm. It's just like – I don't know, man. It's getting dark, so we're going to have to lighten it up next week, I think. I mean, we were just talking about that off mic, but we will.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, Noirvember.
Yeah, I think I've had enough of noir for a while.
I think
we've had such a wide range too.
It's true.
Yeah,
I mean, so, like, everything from like kind of funny,
mm-hmm.
And you know, then some classics. You know, like with the, what was the Orson Welles one? A Touch of Evil.
Touch of Evil.
You know,
yeah.
I'm assuming this one we're about to talk about is in the classic. I imagine if it's not a classic, I imagine it's a. Like a cult darling,
yes.
Or something.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Sam Fuller is the director, Sam Fuller, who we saw in the Steel Helmet earlier in our podcast. Sam Fuller is one of those guys that movie people love. In fact, Tim Robbins did a documentary about him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what's it called?
I can't remember.
I was going to say, dumb question. Yeah. Why even ask you that? Like, yeah. Hey, man, just tell me, what's it called? What year was it produced? Who's the producer? Yeah, stupid questions.
Yeah. So, Sam Fuller's that kind of guy. He made a lot of movies ahead of their time, mm-hmm. I think. I don't think this is one of them. It sort of is, but...
Oh, I think...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was, but maybe you can school me.
No. No, I agree with that. I think that's... You know, he made movies about... he had a movie where about a black dog or a dog, a white dog, I think it was called, and he attacked like black people.
Okay.
And then he did one about
is this movie called?
Well, I think it's called White Dog.
Is this called like My Neighbor in Titusville, Florida?
And you know, he did one where a woman was in an insane asylum, stuff like that. So. But yeah, he's the kind of guy that I think people who are in the business. I think his last big movie was called The Big Red One, which is a really good war movie with Lee Marvin, back in the early '70s or mid '70s. So, but yeah, he was around for a long time. Had a pretty interesting life. Was in World War II. I think the Battle of the Bulge. He was there and stuff. So, interesting guy.
Yeah, so I was reading up a little bit about him, and I guess he's in a Godard film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to butcher this. Pierrot Le Fou.
I have no idea.
Apologies to our French-speaking listeners.
Again, Godard says, hey, Sam, you want to be in this movie? Because they love Sam Fuller, the other directors.
Yeah, he's like a director's director,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like the well, maybe George Carlin's not the right comparison. He's like the...
comedian's comedian.
Yeah, like the Dave Attell of like, you know... Directors, maybe,
right.
maybe probably also not even. Anyway, so in this movie, he has this quote where, I guess the Godard character representing Godard like says like what is film essentially? And he says film's like a battleground. There's love, hate, action, violence, death, in one word, emotion. So that's his approach.
Yep.
So not flashy.
Nope.
I would say gritty.
Yep.
You know, I guess that's
black
that's
and
word.
White. What was the year? It was 52 or something.
I think it was 53.
53.
Oh, I guess we should say what film we're talking about.
Pick Up on South Street. Yeah, that was a... It stars Richard Widmark.
And we'll get to him in a second.
Okay.
I know nothing about him, so you have something. Hopefully you can school me on Richard Widmark.
Okay. Well, I was going to give you his first film to see.
Richard Widmark's first film?
Mm-hmm. I think it was his first film, but he's amazing in it.
Okay.
Well, it's a psycho.
Okay. Let's get there in a second. Okay. So we're back at that. Like, let's go back to... We're saying this movie is... I don't even know where we start. Like, we're like, yeah, this guy's kind of... The director's gritty, not very flashy.
Right.
And then I cut you off.
I love the dialogue. Is that noirish dialogue?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Who wrote this? Did Fuller write this?
I think so. Yep.
Okay, because I felt like this was written by, like, AI... Or like a Russian immigrant who had like a noir slang dictionary, and was like, "Yeah, this is how people really talk." Hey, muffin.
Hey, muffin. What are you doing, muffin?
Yeah, I felt like I was like watching like how I don't know how like Italian people feel watching a French movie where they're like, "Yeah, I don't understand every word they're saying, but I get it." Mm-hmm. You know, like I thought it was kind of like it's like based on context, I understand what's happening, but like some of these. Those sentences are just totally nonsensical.
Yeah, that's Sam Fuller,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But it felt like the main character who was played by...
Richard Widmark. Yeah, Skip McCoy.
Skip McCoy. My God. Beautiful. He just felt like he... Like, every other word was like... I imagine your average movie-going audience was like, what the hell is this guy saying?
Yeah. You've been whip of the squad long enough to know that a guy with my rating wouldn't grip the dame on the train. Not with three strikes on me.
You'll always be a two-bit cannon. And when they pick you up in the gutter dead, your hand will be in a drunk's pocket. You were spotted lifting that wallet.
Only amateurs are spotted.
So?
So it's my word against one of your whiz cops.
That girl was carrying TNT and it's gonna blow up right in your face.
What girl?
I'm going to jam that grin right down your teeth.
Go ahead, slug me. Go ahead. I'll make a bigger stink than last time. I'll see you hit the backyard without pay for 1 year. Go on, not head slug me. Come on, hit me. Well, come on, hit me, will you? What's the matter? You nervous?
Well, I think back at then, I mean, because of the noir, you know, genre, I mean, a lot of those movies had the same kind of language. And it's just, you know, it's their own kind of language. You know, I have a book about noir, and some of the quotes in there are just unbelievable.
I know. I remember flipping through it half drunk and just laughing my ass off. So I was thinking about that book when I was watching this, and I was like, I wonder if this movie has a chapter in that book. It's just, again, I didn't write anything down, but like, if anyone who watched this, you know that like, just like every line has something. You're like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Fuller just couldn't help himself. Just going nuts with it.
Yeah, it made it a little more interesting, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Because like, part of it was like, I'm like, what is it? Yeah, I had to like figure out. But you know, it wasn't like indecipherable or anything. But it was just like, huh?
It also stars Gene Peters and Thelma Ritter, who we saw in All About Eve. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She was nominated 6 times for Best Supporting Actress, never won. She was nominated 4 years in a row, and this was one of them, and she never won. Yeah. And Jean Peters is mostly known because she was married to Howard Hughes at one time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you want to tackle first, Ritter or Peters?
Well, I don't have much to say about Peters. I don't really know that much about her.
Okay, well, I do.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know much about her, but I have some things to say about her.
Okay.
So usually we're like, when were you in, when were you out? Mm-hmm. Like, the opening scene of this film is one of the best in the film.
Yes.
It's like this sweaty New York subway. It's like jostling, and it's
about a pickpocket.
Yeah, it's about a pickpocket. And it's like, and you don't know what's happening. The camera focuses on these three people, and you don't really know what's going down. You know that something's going to happen,
right?
Like, and you don't know if the dame is in on it. You don't
know duplicitous dame.
Yeah, right. Because like, you're knowing everything that happens in these films, you don't know like Is this part of a con? Mm-hmm. Is she the victim? Is she the protagonist? We have no idea.
And who these two other guys are.
Right.
One is approaching her, and one of them's sort of just staring at her.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't know what's going on.
And, okay, now, I don't know if it was just me at the what I was feeling at the time, but the scene was kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that first shot, I was like, damn, and she's kind of doing it for me, you know what I mean? Right, right.
She was beautiful.
Right.
But, and all setup was just sexy.
Mm-hmm. It was like kind of sweaty and they're close. And and so I was like, okay. So I was like looking her up and I was like, oh, she's like actually not. And then as the movie progressed, I was like, oh, she doesn't look that good. But I thought she was really perfectly cast because she looks like she looks pretty from far away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Like when you get close up, you're like, oh, you're kind
of. She's been down the road a couple times.
Like, so do you know who was almost cast in this part?
Uh-uh.
Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
Sam Fuller rejected it. He said she's too pretty.
Great. Well, that tells you something. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She would be too beautiful for the whole setup.
Right. Marilyn Monroe cannot be in a movie unless it's about how pretty she is.
Right.
All About Eve. She plays an incredibly beautiful person.
She blows the movie apart with just one scene.
Some like it hot.
Yeah.
The whole movie is about how
when they talk about hot, she's so hot.
Like, dudes are, like, falling. They're dressing in drag to get close to her. You know, like, that's how, like, incredibly hot she is. So.
And in that first scene, what you're talking about, how sexy she looked, and you notice, like, everybody's kind of staring at her.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't look like anybody else on that. On that train, and she's gorgeous. You wonder what, you know, doesn't she feel uncomfortable or doesn't she notice everybody staring at her? Right. You know, but no, I guess she's used to it.
Yeah. So the reason that she was cast, so she was also rejected originally.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, at the last minute, Sam Fuller saw her walking across, like, a cafeteria on, like, a movie lot. And she walked bow-legged like a prostitute. And that's what got her the part.
Wow. Can you do a little bow-legged thing a little more? Right. I'll give you the part.
Yeah, like...
She was not beautiful, but good enough for the role.
Well, I mean... this is going to sound terrible, but she looked like you said, she'd been down the road.
Right.
She'd been around the block. She's...
And that's what she was supposed to be.
Exactly.
Right.
And she nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, she really, you know, the guy she was with was using her, you know, of course.
That made no sense. That, right. Their relationship is a little bit of a plot hole.
And that was Richard Kiley. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and it was like, you know, we're not together anymore. That was one of the things, you know. We're not together anymore, but I owe you or you owe me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, yeah. Yeah. Richard Kiley was in Blackboard Jungle, one of the teachers.
Oh, he was the one that got beat up and his guy's all record trash. Oh, yeah. Good. Screw him, that commie. If I had seen this movie first, I would have had no sympathy for that guy.
The damn commie.
Other women passed over. Shelley Winters, Ava Gardner, and Betty Grable. Apparently, Betty Grable wanted to do some kind of a dance number in the movie.
Oh, brother.
Can you imagine? She's just like, put on that record, Skip.
Shelley Winters would have been pretty good because she's another one. She's not overly gorgeous, but she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, Jean Peters was great in it, I thought.
Yeah. She was good in it, but
good in it. Yeah,
Well, we call it great. Yeah. I'm not going to split hairs here, but I couldn't. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like right role, right time. I felt like I couldn't imagine her like doing much. You know, like I don't know. I just felt like she. You know, this is her corner.
Right.
Like, you know, no pun intended there. All right, Matt. So, did you want to go back to?
Well, we'll get to Thelma later.
Okay.
So,
when were you in the same?
Same. Yeah. Oh, that opening. I'm going. Okay, what's going on? I kind of know this was about a pickpocket. Years ago I saw it. I couldn't remember if Richard Widmark was the good guy or the bad guy.
Yeah,
because he looks like a good guy in it,
right?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to tell, right?
It's hard to tell. In that opening scene, it's really hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets so close to her,
mm-hmm.
And then we see how a pickpocket worked. And that was sexy, the way he was. They were almost like on top of each other.
They were kind of like rocking back and forth.
It's New York subway. Yeah.
And she's like looking away in mm-hmm. a way that you're like, does she know this is happening? And like pretending? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. She, no, it wasn't. So anyways, the pickpocket, Richard Widmark, ends up with some microfilm that was, you know, some commies were passing. And of course, the cops are watching. The other guy's a cop. And we don't know that.
Well, he's like an FBI or something, yeah. Right? Like he's a government.
Yeah, he's a government team man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he sees the transaction or the theft, you know, and he runs off, tries to catch him and stuff. But, yeah, it was a great opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot going on.
Right. Yeah. And like a lot going on in like a tight space. And like it just, like the way it was filmed, it just like tension builds and they're all sweaty and just. Yeah, it was.
And then they get off the train, and the cops follow her because they've lost the pickpocket because mm-hmm. he knows how to get away. He gets away really quickly,
mm-hmm.
and they follow through the streets of New York into a building, and she looks through her purse, can't find it, so that's where, you know, and then we are off to the races.
Yeah, and we meet the cops. We got the and the cops,
Tiger,
Zara. I mean. Hey, I remember their names.
One thing I've learned about watching film noir, especially like in the Korean or, you know, is cops don't have any respect for their bosses. They're always yelling at them.
Oh, my God. Both movies.
Right.
Both movies you watched this week, yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's, I think it comes from this kind of understood, like, I'm better than what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just yell at you and you have to deal with it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so good at what I do. You just have to deal with me blowing up every now and then. So
that's what we see that in the second movie, mm-hmm. especially.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah. 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 And so they're always yelling at him. And Tiger's he's a rough guy.
I mean, seemingly so, but he never really.
No.
That never really comes out, you know? No. Like he's pretty restrained.
Just in his office.
Right. So, yeah. So, God, the movie's pretty hard to explain because there's mm-hmm. a lot of kind of back and forth. I mean, there's essentially five people, but it gets right. kind of complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Jean Peters, I can't remember her name.
Oh.
I remember if you said it, but which means I don't remember it. Anyway, so she is. So anyway, so no. So they figure out, like, okay, she got pickpocketed. They call in Thelma Ritter.
Thelma Ritter, who is an informant. Her name is Candy, Jean Peters.
That's
Candy.
Right. Of course it is.
And Thelma's name is Mo.
Right. Of course it is.
She's a woman?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Mo is a professional snitch.
Right. And everybody sort of goes along with it.
It's Mo. She's got to put soup on the table, you know? Like, hey.
That's a great quote. It's just Mo. She's doing what she needs to do.
Hey, come on. I was going to get caught anyway. Might as well get caught by Mo, yeah. Yeah, she's like a likable snitch, which yes. is a very narrow lane to walk.
Right. She's very forward.
So she comes in. She's like, you know, pop, pop, pop. Mm. She's like the only person here who's like, she's kind of like rapid fire, you know, mm-hmm. like an old, like Billy Wilder
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
script. Like,
because yeah.
this movie has like that noir element, but it's not snappy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just like, it's I don't know, it's not snappy. I don't know what else to say.
But she is.
She is, yeah. yeah. She brings a little bit of pep to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of energy.
Because Candy mm-hmm. and Skip are like, their dialogue is just like, I don't know, they're beating the shit out of each other, and then they're falling in love.
Repeat. Great relationship.
Yeah, right.
And their fight scene, that one fight scene was incredible.
Mm-hmm. So Mo comes in.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, yeah, well, it could be any of eight pickpockets. Now that you've told me their style.
Yeah, she had to go through the whole style. Well, what'd they do? Was it a newspaper? Was it above the fold? Was it, you know, she knew all these things. That was funny.
Right.
That was good.
So they land on their man. They
Skip McCoy.
Skip McCoy. Bring him in, I think, is what happens next.
Yeah. They.
I can't remember. Maybe they go visit him.
They go visit him.
He lives on like a stilt.
He lives on a structure. Like a pier or something. Out in the middle of water.
What was that? That was just like, that was Sam Fuller had a weird idea. They're like, okay, he's Sam Fuller. We'll just let it go.
He's like, he just had a place to stay. He just got out of prison. Mm-hmm. So he needed a place to stay. And he got his own refrigerator. It's a big wide ocean that he keeps his beer in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was a pretty good.
And his microfish.
And his micro, yeah. So they go pick him up.
They pick him up. He's like, hey, I didn't do nothing.
You got the wrong guy.
Right. Yeah. Hey, come on. I'm keeping my nose clean. See. And so they don't have any evidence. So right. They let him go.
And Tiger, the cop, had busted him 3 times before. So he's looking at life in prison if he gets thrown in prison again. That's one of the things.
I didn't realize they had like a 3 strikes and you're out rule in the 50s.
That's, I didn't either.
That seems intense.
Yeah. I know we had it in the 90s or the 80s or something. Now they have it in the 50s. I didn't know that. Of course, no, they fixed it in the later on. It was 3 strikes.
Uh-huh.
This is 4 strikes.
Okay. All
yeah.
Right,
huh? Yes.
Makes yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
It seemed a little bit harsh. But so he, he's like, no. You have no evidence. You have no proof. I'm keeping my nose clean, whatever. Candy shows up. She finds out where he is somehow. I can't remember. It's not important, really. Mm. I don't think.
No.
Does she go to Mo to find out?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so yeah. She goes to Mo.
She pays Mo $50.
That's right. Everyone's giving Mo $50.
Mo's saving for her funeral. She's trying to save enough money for her funeral.
Right. So she goes. I think
Mo gives him up pretty easily.
Yeah, of course. So she goes and he's like they kind of fall in love. He beats her up a little bit.
Yeah, he smacks her up a little bit and she likes it.
Yeah, I mean every dude that she interacts with, aside for the cops, beat the hell out of her, and not really. She doesn't seem surprised.
No, it's not. It's just that's her life. Right. It's her men.
This is what guys do.
Yeah, they start a little. Well, at first it's she's coming on to him. They kiss,
mm-hmm.
And then he smacks her around a little bit. Says, I want $50,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, that was the second time.
Right.
Yeah, she came back with $500.
Right.
He says, how much money you have?
And so throughout this time, we find out that the guy that Candy was used to be hooking up with, he's a commie.
Mm-hmm.
And not very cool.
No.
And the commies are trying to get this equation.
Yep.
Which, so are we just like supposed to believe this is some sort of atomic bomb level kind of thing? Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because he claimed it was some, Joey, Richard Kiley, claimed it was something to do with industrial competition.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and so there is this like whole like idea of like the Cold War mm-hmm. happening, right? So Skip is, they're like, oh, come on, don't you care about your country? He's like,
fuck you.
Right, yeah, like, I like that. It's like, yeah, of course this guy who's been arrested 3 times he's not going to salute the flag.
And he had no idea what he had.
Right.
Because he hadn't really looked in the purse.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, he could care less.
Yeah. I mean,
what's it to me?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, whether we're capitalist, communist, dictatorship, I'm still going to be a pickpocket.
Right. I'm still a criminal. Right.
Life doesn't change much for me. So, yeah, I mean, God, long story short, right? I mean, there's a lot of back and forth. Candy goes to see him one final time. She hits him with something, right?
Oh, a bottle.
A bottle.
Mm-hmm. Knocks him out.
Grabs the film, takes it to the cops.
Mm-hmm.
He had taken one frame of the film to keep for himself because he's smart.
Right.
And so then he's tailing the commies to watch their exchange. Gets the jump on the guy. Says, mm-hmm. there's a frame missing.
Yeah.
Beats them both up and then takes the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't quite get like what his ending was. He makes off with the film to possibly sell it. Is that what we're supposed to?
Who, Skip or, yeah, no, or Joey? I'm not a little confused now.
Skip, like Skip. What?
Yeah, I think he was going to sell it to the highest bidder.
Because
he didn't care.
In the end, Skip is free.
Right.
The commies presumably are caught by the police.
Right.
There's a pretty good fight scene there at the mm-hmm. end. Like, yep. It looked fairly realistic for the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of long, right?
Yeah.
So Well, I mean, what's the resolution with Skip? Like, does Skip...
Skip turns good.
Is that what we're supposed
yeah,
to say?
Yeah, yeah.
He turns in the film?
He turns in the film.
No money?
For the dame.
Okay.
He's in love.
So, okay, wow. I did not have that read at all. So yeah. Skip does... Because the very last line is like, Tiger's like, I'll pick you up again soon. And she's like, don't bet on it. So, yeah. But they're going to go off to, like... The suburbs and
I don't know and become you know Mr. and Mrs. John Doe and live a peaceful life. No, that's what I thought. I thought that he because of what happened to Mo.
You threatening to blow my head off? Ask a silly question, you get a dopey look.
Why are you holding back on me? You'd sell anybody for buttons.
Yeah, but not to you, Mr.
Look, I haven't got a lot of time.
You haven't got a lot of time. Listen, mister, when I come in here tonight, you've seen an old clock running down. I'm tired. I'm through. Happens to everybody sometime. Will happen to you too someday. With me, it's a little bit of everything. I backaches and headaches. I can't sleep nights. It's so hard to get up in the morning and get dressed and walk the streets, climb the stairs. I go right on doing it. Well, what am I going to do, knock it? I have to go on making a living so I can die. But even a fancy funeral ain't worth waiting for if I've got to do business with crumbs like you. And I know what you're after.
What do you know?
I know you commies are looking for some film that don't belong to you.
You just talked yourself into an early grave. What else do you know?
What do I know about commies? Nothing. I know one thing. I just don't like them. So I don't get to have the fancy funeral after all. Anyway, I tried. Look, mister, I'm so tired. You'd be doing me a big favor if you'd blow my head off.
He kind of felt bad about that, and then, and he, you know, he liked the dame, so he was gonna turn good, but never
those,
will.
Those bow legs, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard to resist. Yeah. So okay, that's it.
Yeah, so, it's a very complicated for an 80-something minute film. It's very complicated.
Yeah. We should not have even tried to explain the plot because
right.
I don't have any notes or anything, so just kind of go in my memory. So the thing about this movie is that. When I was watching it, I kind of felt like this is like a noir movie, but like if the camera just like went over here a little bit, it's like, what are these people doing? Like, it's because it's about like really low level, kind of scummy people, right?
Right,
it's about this really beloved snitch who's living in poverty.
Right.
It's about this, you know, maybe former prostitute is what we're supposed to kind of take away.
Could be,
you know,
yeah.
Not unaccustomed to getting beat up,
right?
And then a pickpocket who lives on a still house,
right? So there's no,
there's no glamour.
There's no glamour in this life,
but yeah,
and some kind of cops that aren't always on the up and up.
But they're not really. They were. I don't know. I didn't find them to be the focus at all. No. The focus is on these three kinda,
people. Yeah,
four
with Richard Kiley, maybe.
Okay, I mean, I didn't really feel that he was. A big part of it. I thought it was more like this is like how the criminal element lives.
Right.
And it's like, hey, they're not so bad. I mean, by the end of the movie, you're rooting for Richard Widmark, whatever the hell his name is, to win, right?
Right,
I mean,
right, yeah.
He becomes the good guy.
Yeah, because he's going against the commies.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's also going against the cops.
Right.
So that's what made me think, like, maybe this was somewhat revolutionary at the time, because it's like, let's celebrate the dirtbags.
Yeah, you don't... I think back then, the dirtbags didn't win much at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They always had to pay for their sins.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they don't.
No.
Except for... Well, I don't consider Moa, you know, she's just...
Wasn't she, like, terminal with something anyway? Was
I think so. Yeah. She was real sick and was just saving him. She didn't care. And ended up getting shot and begged the guy to come pretty much kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, like, a feature of noir, is that they... There's, like, this morality, right? Mm-hmm. If you do wrong, you don't make it out.
Right.
But in this movie, they made it up.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they were fighting a bigger morality, which was communism. You know?
I guess so.
Immorality, which was, you know, when you compare communism to a pickpocket or a prostitute, you know, it's not a fair fight.
I see what you're saying, but... Maybe I just read this whole movie wrong. I got the sense that the Richard Widmark character didn't even care about that. Like rejected that notion. Was like, I don't care. Like, yeah,
he didn't care.
So,
but I think in the sense of a movie viewer, you're supposed to think, okay, you got these two people. They're just kind of a couple lowlifes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just trying to make a living, doing whatever they can. And then you got this bigger thing, which is the specter of communism. So, and these other guys who are ruthless, you know, like Richard Widmark says, I never carry a gun.
Right.
He's not that kind of criminal. These other guys are.
Right.
They're a lot worse because they'll kill you.
Right. But I don't know, like I understand what you're saying, but I didn't feel like this was like a.
Like morality
a,
play?
Well, I didn't feel it was like a patriotic movie. Like Widmark was not against the communists, he was against, like, being hounded. You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. You're right. I mean, I think it's in the background, mm-hmm. the whole communism. It's not a forefront thing, because mm-hmm. it's mentioned a few times, mm-hmm. but nobody really, you know, like, the Richard Widmark, the main character, could care less.
Right. That's what I'm saying I like about it. Like,
yeah.
Like, that we said, he could care less. And that's the kind of the vibe I got watching Steel Helmet.
Yes.
You know, same thing. That guy could fucking care less.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey.
I'm just trying to survive here.
Right.
That's what it is for him, for Fuller. It's just people surviving.
Yeah.
The Big Red One's the same way, which follows, you know, some soldiers, a sergeant and three or four soldiers through the whole Italian campaign and stuff like that. So that's, we're just trying to survive. Fuck it.
Right.
You know, I hate the commanders. I hate everybody. Let's just keep our heads down and survive.
Right. And I got the vibe that if Widmark could have sold, like, I mean, he was trying to sell the film, right? Like,
if he could have sold it, he would have.
He didn't care, you know. So it was just kind of out for himself, and just that kind of realization that there's a higher power that doesn't give a fuck about me. So why do I give a fuck about them?
And I think in the end, when they leave together, Candy and Skip. We're left to think, well, you know, are they real? Are they sincere? I don't think so.
I mean, he's going to beat her. Like, I mean, that's...
He's going to smack her around at some point. Yeah.
That's just the fact of life.
Yep. And he's going to keep doing what he does because that's what he's always done. In fact, Thelma Ritter says, I've known you since you were a little boy doing this. Been doing that his whole life.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. He's not going to change.
Hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm pretty sure he did not grow up in the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about anything about, like, do you have any comments about, like, the Fuller direction?
No, I think, like you said, it was pretty, you know, there's not a lot of surprises in his direction. Set the camera up. I mean, the first scene, a lot of directors probably couldn't have handled that like he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can say that because that was perfect almost. But no, how about you?
Well, I mean, yeah, the first scene is like the high water mark, mm-hmm. which is a shame because mm-hmm. it doesn't like dip way down, no. but
it slows down a little bit.
It does. Yeah. But there's no other real scenes in the movie where there's that kind of tension, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you kind of, it's these people are talking and then this happens. You know, it's just kind of, it's very like formulaic. I will say that.
And there's no dialogue in that first scene. Right. Except for people just, you know, carrying on their own. But between the main characters, there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's quiet. I don't know. I guess it was shot on a studio, but you did feel like you were in New York. I mean, it did feel kind of gritty and real in mm-hmm. that sense. So there's something to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I don't know. I just, like you say, it's not very flashy. You're not like, oh, he's doing his thing, you know? It's not like
the Sam Fuller thing.
It's not like the Orson Welles like extreme close up. You don't get that kind of thing, or the Denis Villeneuve like the hovering, closing in kind of vibe. You don't get that. So, I'm not sure what his technique is. Maybe he has one.
I think he's a pretty straightforward director. Set the camera up and let the actors act.
One take.
Yeah.
Next.
Like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, we got it.
I gotta go play golf. Right.
By the time they're watching this scene, we already got their money, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anything else that we should mention here, Matt? I did not do a recast. I didn't even think about it.
No. I just wanted to mention Thelma Ritter. She's always good. She pretty much plays the same role.
I wonder who... So, is it one of those things where... She just, like you said, she played the same role, so it's like, oh, of course she does that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's kind of like a victim of her own success.
I don't know, because she was great. She was really good in All About Eve. She was really good in this. Another one she's really good in is Rear Window, which is Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember that she was mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah. But she pretty much plays the same role. She made a pretty good living doing it.
Wow. Okay, yeah, she was nominated for an Academy Award 6 times.
Yep.
Birdman of Alcatraz, Pillow Talk, Pick Up on South Street, With a Song in My Heart, The Mating Season, and All About Eve.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't win any of them.
Nothing.
Are any of those like injustices that you think? Or?
I didn't look and see who beat her. I'm sure there was one or two, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Always supporting role.
Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. Well, she wasn't a leading actress.
That's true, but it's just like, yeah, I mean, what a career to be like the sixth man off the bench and just... Yeah, kill it.
She probably did a lot of stage work too, I would imagine.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I just want to know who she lost to in the All About Eve year. This might be something we've already looked up, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, because she was really good in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was like the as we always said, like she was like the pep in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like without her, it's just. Best actor.
But yeah, I think that I think if you, the only way you know it's a Sam Fuller movie maybe is if you see the subject matter, it's different than most people.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I think he did he brought up. Topics that back in the 50s or in the early 60s, like racism and things like that, and gender bending. It was a movie that he did where the woman was bald or something, So I wish I could remember things more than I can these days, but
it's fine.
Yeah, Shock Corridor was one of them he did. Yeah, that was about a insane asylum.
Yeah, so willing to tackle the tough subjects. I just imagine him pitching this movie. Yeah, so it's a noir film. It's about a prostitute and a pickpocket who fall in love.
Yeah,
and they're working kind of with the commies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
White Dog is a trainer attempts to retrain a vicious dog that was raised to attack black people. I mean, who does that? You know, that's in the 80s. That was 82.
God, he was making movies in the 80s?
Yeah, he was making movies in the 90s. Girls in Prison.
Is that a Cinemax-only movie?
Yeah, I guess
I think
so.
I've seen that. All right, so this is who Selma, well, not Selma, Thelma Ritter. This is who she lost to in the All About Eve year.
Okay.
Josephine Hole in a movie called Harvey.
Oh, well, I can see that.
That one's justified, you think?
I think so. She is. Well, Josephine Hall, remember Arsenic and Old Lace?
No.
Did we say about the two sisters that poison people?
No, we never watched that.
Oh, I have to give you that one. It's Cary Grant, Josephine Hull.
All right.
Peter Lorre.
So when she was nominated for The Mating Season, she lost to Kim Hunter in A Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm-hmm. Not Blanche, but the other one, I think. No, Blanche. She played Blanche Dubois. Or Stella, one of them. I can't remember.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Let's see. She lost in, so when she was nominated for With a Song in My Heart, she lost to Gloria Graham in The Bad and the Beautiful.
Okay, I've never seen that. Yeah, I know so. Kirk Douglas is in it.
We'll say she should have won that one.
Okay.
All right, we'll give her that one. So far she should have had one of those of these, you think, right?
Mm-hmm.
She lost to Donna Reed?
Really? Oh, and
From
Hit or Return It, yeah.
Donna Reed, the TV mom?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's probably, she was good.
Okay.
Against who you think Donna Reed is.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, man, this is like one of those things where you're like, how come LeBron James doesn't have more MVPs? And you're like, well, which one should he have won?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe there was a better person every year. She lost to Shelley Winters in The Diary of Anne Frank when she was nominated for Pillow Talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Diary of Anne Frank, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, and Pillow Talk was fluff. Okay. You know, it's Doris Day and Rock Hudson. So, and yeah, you're not going to lose. If you're in Diary of Anne Frank, you're not going to lose.
Okay, and then when she was nominated for The Birdman of Alcatraz, she lost to Patty Duke in The Miracle Worker.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so.
Okay, maybe one.
So maybe she should have gotten one, but yeah, so she's her 0-6 is somewhat justified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that a lot of the, like, especially the Donna Reed role, I think Shelley Winters, they were meatier. They were bigger roles, I think.
What is From Here to Eternity about? Is that one where they're making out on the beach?
Yep.
Is that all it is? Like, what? I mean, like,
no, it's about.
Like, are they like stranded on an island or something?
No, they're in Hawaii.
Okay.
During World War II.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, I have no idea. Okay, cool.
It's about World War II. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not, okay, because it's just that famous scene of them, like, making out on the beach, right? Yeah. I'm not imagining that, okay.
Deborah Carr.
Yeah. You keep saying these names. I'm just like, all right, man, cool.
I don't know how I can remember this. I can't remember anything.
Right, yeah, you remember Deborah Carr. Okay. All right, Matt, what is next? Just time to guess the score, do you think? We're almost on 40
minutes. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right, so what do you think about old IMDb? Hold on, let me tell you how many people are checking in here to give you a gauge of if these are the true heads checking in or just, or if it's a mess. Oh, man, oh, it's so sad when you see, like, you know, Captain America 3, 400,000 reviews.
In a year.
Pick up on South Street, 14,000 people checking
in. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go 7-6.
Ah, you're close. You're always pretty close on these. It's a 7-7.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
A little higher.
Yeah.
I think the tomato meter will be higher.
I think so, too. I have a feeling that this is like a...
It's a critics movie.
Yeah, I think it's something people look back on, and I think it's what you said, like, people don't make movies about this, you know? Like, he was...
Yeah, I've never seen a movie about a pickpocket.
No. At least not back then.
Or at that time, where the lead character says, communism? Who cares? You know, we're talking 53, right in the heart of the, you know, in the middle of the Cold War.
So was this, like, was this Samuel Fuller, like, rejecting all the... The blacklisting and stuff that's going on? Like, is this his, like, so. This is like his FU?
Yeah, he was really... He might have been a communist himself. I don't know. I don't know.
Whoa!
Well, it's sympathizer. He maybe went to some meetings. But yeah, he was very anti-blacklisting. So.
Okay. Wow. Breaking news here. Sam Fuller went to some meetings.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of people did back then.
All right, so what do you think about the Rotten Tomato meter? We got 36 reviews.
I'm going to go 92.
boom, nailed it.
Really?
Exactly, yep.
Wow, I thought it would be higher. Yep. In the 90s, that's good. And I will say the audience is 86.
89.
Okay, well, a little higher then.
Yeah, 2,500 people checking in on that one. So not widely seen, no. But yeah.
Worth seeing. Film noir.
Oh, look at that. Okay, this guy stole our style. This, I mean, stole our style from over a year ago. New York Review of Books. I don't know why they're reviewing this movie, but whatever. Insanely slangy, deliriously hard-boiled noir.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you have a consensus?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The consensus is, or I think I do.
Yeah, if you had another review, but
nope, no consensus.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Oh, man. Variety. They really fucked this one up. This is a negative review. Pickup, for the most part, falls flat on his face and borders on presumably unintended comedy.
What?
I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
I didn't chuckle.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is the New Yorker, so this is obviously one of the best ones. Mm. That's from 2015, so pretty far removed. Fuller's pugnacious. Already, you've got me at pugnacious. Mm-hmm. Fuller's pugnacious direction and his gutter-up view of city life romanticize both the criminal code of honor and the jangling paranoia of global plots. His hard-edged long takes depict underworld cruelty with reportorial wonder. This is written by Richard Brody. Yeah, I don't know if Richard Brody, if you have a podcast, but just do it, man.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a great.
That was great.
Great. That's one sentence.
Pugnacious.
Pugnacious, reportorial. Jangling.
But he said it what we said.
Yeah, come on, Brody.
Yeah, we said it in 40 minutes. You said it in one line.
All right, Matt, take a break and come back and talk about Prisoners.
The violins were warm and sweet, and so were you, mademoiselle. And as the night danced by, a kiss became a sigh. Your lovely eyes seem to sparkle just like wine
And we're back. So our last movie of Noirvember, a Thanksgiving movie.
Yes. It's destined to be a Thanksgiving movie.
Well, it starts with Thanksgiving,
it
right?
It does.
Yeah. There's no Thanksgiving movie.
It actually starts with a shooting of a deer, but
no?
Which you do on Thanksgiving.
I mean, if you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is 2013's Prisoners, directed by our boy.
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve.
How many of his movies have we watched?
Four? God, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have watched Enemy,
mm-hmm.
Arrival,
mm-hmm.
and this one,
okay.
Prisoners. So speaking of that, so check out this dude's run. I would argue that he is the best working director.
Mm.
All right, so.
And this was 2013, so this was early.
Yeah, 2013, Prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
2013, Enemy. Criminally Slept On.
Mm-hmm.
2015, Sicario.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And keep in mind, all these movies are very different,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
2016, Arrival.
Right. Oh, love that.
2017, Blade Runner 2049. I didn't see it. It's Ryan Gosling, so it's probably okay.
Mm-hmm. I like the first one.
And then, right? And then 2021, Dune, which is very well-beloved mm-hmm. so far. So, that run, right? There's not a stinker in there.
That's a good 8-year run.
It's a good 8-year run.
Yeah, it is.
And even just Enemy, Sicario, Arrival. Prisoners, Enemy, Sicario, Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got four back-to-back like that?
Yeah, I really liked all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all really different. Like you know, this is a movie about, like, mm-hmm. grief and morality.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy is about, like, identity mm-hmm. and like the way you show yourself to other people.
Yeah.
Sicario, it's a kind of a cartel movie.
Yeah. Drug cartel.
And then Arrival, like this kind of heartwarming, I mean, it's an interesting movie about Amy Adams taking a language class.
Right.
Like she's like learning like what it means to like how the universe works essentially. Yeah, yeah, like yeah. About like time and space. I don't. It's just
that movie. That's the kind of movie I can watch over and over again. That one.
Arrival.
Yeah, I just really liked it.
Yeah, it's so just like. It's like epic, but intimate. Yep. You know, it's so good.
Small epic movie.
This is a small epic movie. It's the opposite of Cholet.
Yeah. Oh God.
Cholet is big and not epic.
Right.
That's the problem with Cholet.
Epically not big.
Right. It's epically not big. So yeah, I assume that you like this movie. I don't know how much you had. I don't know how much fun you had watching it.
It was brutal. It's a brutal movie. But I loved it. This is one of those movies, I could have sat through and watched the whole thing if I had spaced my time out a little better. But I think I watched an hour and a half of it today. Mm-hmm. So I really, really liked it. And you know, my boy Jake's in it. So, but I really, really liked this movie. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I didn't see it. And what happened to this movie? Why? I mean, I don't know what the box office was, but, you know, I was reading a little bit about it. It was in treatment hell for a while, and, you know, people like DiCaprio was in on it for a while, and other people.
I'm glad he turned it down.
Wahlberg.
I'm glad he turned that down.
And he ended up making another movie with the writer.
Oh, what was it? I had the writer stuff pulled up. Contraband?
Contraband.
Okay.
Whatever that was. It can't be as good as this one.
No.
And why did DiCaprio, he would have been great in it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody in this movie was really good. The ones that had something to do. Uh-huh. There was a couple of them that were going, what? They're not doing anything.
yeah, let's take the only Oscar winner and put her a little bit to the side here.
But, no, I really, really love this movie. But it is brutal. It has some scenes, you know, when we were trying to figure out if I should watch it with Gloria, I'm thinking, even that opening scene where the deer is shot, but the one scene where there's one scene where a guy picks up a dog by his leash, mm-hmm. and it's just holding him, and oh man, that's brutal. But then there's all sorts of beatings and, you know, it's just really rough. But yeah, I really liked it. How about you?
Oh yeah, I've seen this before, and when I first watched it, I was like, oh my god, I was kind of blown away by it. Like I was kind of like you. I think I don't know even how I watched this. I think I probably stumbled upon Enemy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I love this director. Let me go see what else he did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman are in the same movie. How have I never seen this?
Wait, yeah. Where did it come from?
But I mean, hey, budget $46 million, worldwide gross $122 million.
Oh.
I mean,
somehow I missed it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably weren't going to theaters in 2013, right?
No, I haven't. Since I met Gloria, I haven't been going to movies.
Oh, I don't blame her.
No, I'm just kidding.
When I was watching again, I was like, oh my God. So I was doing the dumb thing where I was trying to like answer email. And mm-hmm. so, one laptop has my work, one mm-hmm. laptop has the movie. Mm-hmm. And I was just like kind of slowly turning towards the movie. I'm like,
forget about it.
Like, how can you ignore this film?
You can't miss anything.
Every scene just builds. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you're like, something's going to happen. And just keeps going.
There's all sorts of red herrings and all this stuff going on. You're going, there's all sorts of little tidbits that are left, little lines, throwaway lines that come back later, things mm-hmm. like that. And I was thinking as I'm watching this movie, this director is so good at what he does. And a lot of times I don't even think about the director. I mean, you know, like Sam Fuller, if I didn't know who Sam Fuller was, I wouldn't even know, mm-hmm. you know, because it has Sam Fuller's subject, but, the direction and stuff really doesn't, say Sam Fuller, I don't think. But this one is like, oh my God, this guy is so good at what he does.
The mood he mm-hmm. creates. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and I think that's what I love so much about Enemy is like, it's so, I mean, it's like Jake Gyllenhaal walking to a class in a community college. Right, you're like, what the fuck's going to happen?
Yeah, right, you know, right.
Like, you're like, well, anything could happen, you know?
He's at a junior college.
But I mean, but this movie, yeah. Like, even that opening, so it starts with the opening deer killing scene, and like, I mean, it is the direction, but it's also Hugh Jackman just being a fucking, I mean, I'm going to say monster, I mean like a monster performance. I don't mean that his character's a monster. I mean, it's kind of both, but like, he's just like,
yeah,
I'm doing it.
Yes.
He's just like, fuck it. I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm. And he did too.
And he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think he probably stole it. Gyllenhaal, great.
See, I think the opposite.
Okay.
I thought Gyllenhaal, little ticky he had.
Yeah, okay. So that was one of my questions, one of my lingering questions. Does Jake Gyllenhaal always blink like that, or is it just in this movie?
I think he does. But no, I just thought that it was so subtle, his performance. And, you know, he was just the opposite of Hugh Jackman.
Right.
So that's what made it great, was the two of them together. I don't think either one of them really stole. I think the two of them together made it. Because their scenes together are great.
One of the best scenes is so, like, inconsequential to the whole film. It's where Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of following Hugh Jackman, and he sees him park at the liquor store, he walks away. Hugh Jackman realizes he's being followed, comes back, gets bottled liquor. He's like, get in the car. Like, Hugh Jackman, okay, so Hugh Jackman's walking towards his car, and Jake Gyllenhaal's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have this conversation. He knocks on the window. He's like, get in the car. So suddenly he's like the cop.
Right. Yeah, before it was like, oh, my God, I don't want to do this.
But you know, a dude like Hugh Jackman, who's like this weird conservative Christian prepper, even though he is pissed off, he still respects authority, right?
In a limited amount, in a way. Well, but yeah, he keeps blaming him for everything. But yeah.
So he gets in the car.
But he gets in the car.
And so like Hugh Jackman's like yelling at him. And Jake Gyllenhaal's like, yeah, okay. Calm down, Mr. Dover. And like, he's just like, it's like they're just both just driving in opposite directions, but somehow it works, you know? That the tension between the two is one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
That was a fabulous scene. And it was all set up really quietly. Him following. It's raining, of course. It's seemingly raining the whole movie, or snowing, kind of going back and forth. But, you know, he's just this quiet, you know, following the guy to a liquor store. He's sitting at a intersection, just sitting there. The cop, Gyllenhaal, is just sitting there watching him get out of his truck at the liquor store and start walking away from the liquor store. So he's going, you know, he's just, you know, between the wiper blades, he's seeing everything. And the big truck comes up behind him, starts beeping the horn, and gets the attention of Hugh Jackman, and you know, that's when he sees, oh, okay, so he goes inside and buys the liquor and comes back out and starts being an asshole.
Drinking it all the way to the car.
I haven't had a drink in 9.5 years. You know. But yeah. That's a great scene.
Is that what you're doing last Saturday night?
Probably. Am I a suspect?
I don't know, I'm only asking you. I'm only asking because you assaulted a man who's now missing.
I heard about that. What happened? I thought you had him under surveillance.
I'm going to assume that you're asking because you have no idea.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was something I could get away with.
It's not.
Yeah, well, it couldn't be that he skipped down because the asshole was guilty. Or it couldn't be that, right? Because that'd mean it'd be your fault, right?
Mr. Dover.
What?
You need to take care of yourself and your wife. That's the best thing you can do right now. That little girl is going to need you when she comes home.
Kid's gone for more than a week. Have half as good a chance of being found. And after a month, almost none are not alive. All right? So forgive me for doing everything I can.
You know what? It hasn't been a fucking week.
You're right. Day fucking six. Day six. And every day, she's wondering why I'm not there to fucking rescue her.
All right.
Do you understand that?
Right.
Me, not you, not you, but me. Every day.
All right.
So forgive me for not going home to have a good night's rest. And why didn't you look for my fucking daughter rather than fucking...
Hey.
Don't follow me.
Hey, Mr. Dole. Mr. Dalton. You don't think I'm gonna let you get behind the wheel after you've been drinking, do you?
I'm gonna walk. You look for my daughter.
And he's just yelling at him. He's like, it's your fault, it's your fault. It's like, again, like that Hugh Jackman really embodied this character of like, yeah, I'm the protector of my family, but I'm also very quick to place blame on other people. Like, like, yeah, I'm this masculine, manly guy, but I won't accept responsibility. You know, like, it's other people's fault, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Because some of it has to do with faith and those kind of things. There's a lot of that in this movie. And I was reading about the writer of the movie. And in his bio here on the IMDb, it says he was once a practicing Catholic but no longer practices.
Okay.
So he mentions that in his bio.
Yeah, that's weird. Seems like a must be a pretty big deal to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those two performances were fantastic. We didn't even mention Paul Dano?
I wanted to mention Aaron Guzikowski was the writer.
Okay.
And he hasn't done much.
No.
But yeah.
So he did this show, what's it called? Raised by Wolves. He was a writer on that.
Mm-hmm.
And all Red through Range. The pandemic, one of my good boys kept texting me, you got to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first 5 minutes. It's like they're in like a spaceship. And I was like, I'm not in the fucking mood for a spaceship. So I might have to go back to that, but I just couldn't handle spaceship at that time.
All right, let's go back to Paul Dano.
Paul Dano. What do you say about Paul Dano?
Oh, my God. We're talking about Hugh Jackson and Jake Gyllenhaal stealing the movie. He was pretty good in it, too.
Not bad.
Because, I mean, this movie's got Viola Davis in it, Melissa Leo, who's always great, Vermonter from Palno, Vermont, Terrence Howard. And Maria Bello, but Davis, Bello, and Howard don't really have a lot to do.
No, I mean they're kind of there in a way that it's like I don't know if they are themselves red herrings, like because so you're looking at like I mean you got Viola Davis, right?
Right.
I don't know if Viola Davis was Viola Davis in 2013,
but
you're just like, is she gonna like be some crazy pivotal role here, like?
No.
Is there going to be a turn where, like, she does something, you know, out of pocket and just, not really.
No, she didn't really do. And Maria Bello was asleep a lot of the movie.
Right.
And Terrence Howard, you know, who's a mild-mannered seemingly guy, you know, and he's good in his role, but there wasn't a lot of meat on that role
but you for don't him. Think, right, that's true. I mean, I don't know when Hustle and Flow came out, how far it was from this, But the thing that they did is that they more than maybe I'll throw Jackman and Gyllenhaal in there too. But like one thing I think that makes this movie like a modern classic is that no one did anything that you couldn't buy. You know what I mean? Like I could buy Hugh Jackman kidnapping that guy.
Right, right.
I could buy Terrence Howard showing up many evenings and just being like, fuck, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Like,
why
are
we doing?
I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is wrong. Like, it was all, like, reasonable.
Right. And then he goes home and tells Viola Davis, and you think, oh, it's the jig is up. But she comes in, I just want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, keep doing it.
Yeah.
I just want my daughter.
Well, yeah, right. Then that morality comes into play, right? We have Hugh Jackman, who's like, I'm just taking this thing dead on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when I saw the torture, it made me think about like the U.S. government.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, this dude is like a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And Viola Davis and Terrence Howard, they're like people in America who are like, we don't have to see it. So we'll support it. You know, we know that they're doing atrocities, but hey, it's fine.
Well, yeah.
See what happens.
Guantanamo Bay. I don't even know where that is.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So yeah, all that stuff, and it just all works so well,
and then the Jake Gyllenhaal character just wants to know the truth. That's he's one of those guys that just keeps looking for the truth.
So how did you what did you think was his motivation? Was he looking for the truth, or was he wanting to be right?
Well, because we have that early scene where he's tells Hugh Jackman that your guy's not the guy. I have no proof, you know. Well, and then he had a spotless record too. Remember the captain told the wife, you know, he's never. No, I just think that's what he lived for, was to find out what happened. You know, like the one guy, late in the movie, the captain says, "You need a wife. You need a life. You need a wife. You need something."
Okay, yeah. So we never saw Jake Gyllenhaal's apartment. No. I'm assuming it's an apartment. But he's definitely a one plate, one spoon, one bowl kind of guy, right?
Yeah, he's got nothing there. Because he usually doesn't sleep there.
Right.
He's usually in his car.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's why I think he was the moral, you know, standard bearer of this movie. Because the other ones were, I mean, everybody else is kind of criminally implicit. Mm-hmm. You know, even Hugh Jackman and Viola Davis.
Even Hugh Jackman. Especially
Hugh Jackman. And then you got Melissa Leo, who's this, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know what she was supposed to, you know, she's just some woman who took care of her nephew.
Is that how you would characterize her?
No, I mean, in the beginning of the movie. Right. Yeah, you know, she's trying to protect him because he's really weird. And he's got his issues and stuff like that. And then you find out later that that's not true.
So you recognized her. You knew that she was immediately famous. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because one thing I read, like, that was one of the things they're worried about, is that she's such a famous person with a part that seems so throwaway in the beginning that they were like, oh, maybe the audience would catch on. I didn't know who she was.
Yeah. I originally saw her in... she was one of the detectives in Homicide, Life in the Street, the show from the 90s.
So I wonder if that's David, also... Oh, sorry.
David Simon show.
Yeah, right. So I wonder if that's also one of, like, maybe, like, well, also we'll throw in... We'll give Viola Davis a bit part, so they just don't know... So it's like you don't know who's important and who's not, you know?
Right. Yeah. And like I say, I don't know when... At the time this was made, she had done The Help... before that, so she was kind of famous. I don't know, I didn't see it, but but she's, you know, now she's a big star, so, but not then, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, I mean, great casting all around.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that Leo was not in this. Was he supposed to be the Gyllenhaal character, I'd imagine?
I believe so.
I can't imagine him doing the Jackman part.
No.
And Wahlberg, oof. Who's that? Terrence Howard?
Yeah, Jesus. Every time I read about a movie, it's like Wahlberg had something to do with it at one time. And he's actually one of the executive producers. I saw it in the credits.
Hey, I mean, maybe he even still is. Like, he was hot shit for a long time. Yeah, so I don't even talk about like how the movie's about Hugh Jackman and Terrence Howard's... Whatever, there's two couples, they're friends, we see them at Thanksgiving, they live down the street from each other, they seem very close, even the kids are close, the teenagers are close.
There's a pair of teenagers and a pair of younger girls, so a boy and a girl, teenager, and two young girls.
And they all seem pretty close, kind of implied that the teenagers were maybe romantically involved somewhat or something. Like,
I never felt that.
I thought she was on the phone and was like, you gotta take me away from me, I don't know, maybe not, I don't know, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And so the girls are abducted on Thanksgiving, and there's like this maddening search. There's an immediate suspect. No evidence that they were anywhere near him.
The suspect attempts to get away. He didn't really.
Right.
You know, he was just a little odd.
Right. He's got like the brain of a 10-year-old, they said. And so, but Hugh Jackman can't let it go.
No.
He's like, this is my guy, because... when he gets out of the police station, the guy says, they only cried when I left them. And that's all Hugh Jackman needs to abduct this dude, torture him, bring in Terrence Howard. He builds a torture...
Yeah, he has an old building that his father owned. And he builds this makeshift torture chamber.
Yeah, another one of my favorite scenes is when... Hugh Jackman's just beating the hell out of this guy, right? He's just like spitting up blood. He's just punching him in the face. And he stands him up and he's going to hit him with his hammer. He's like, do you want me to do it? He's like going to break his fingers with the hammer. No, he puts it on like a...
He put it on the faucet.
What a terrible place to put it.
Right.
Put it like flat. Break him clean. And so he's going to do it, but he can't, right? He can't even bring himself to do that. So he has to like, you know, break the sink.
You're doing this to yourself. Just tell us. Tell me.
Tommy!
Starts breaking the scene.
And when he wants to really torture the guy, he has to like put it so he can't see it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. He builds this kind of wall, but in the shower, between the shower and the bathroom, and he can turn on the hot water and scald the guy, or cold water, or whatever he's doing. I think it's hot water.
Right. So it's like I'll do this, because I can't see you. It's like it's like that. You know, it's like one step removed. So it's like that you're getting that like distance. So like. Your morality can become ambiguous in ways.
Yeah.
So he does that, and like you said, Viola Davis and Terrence Howard, they're complicit in a way. They're kind of like, well, maybe he'll find the answer. Because we still don't know, as the audience, whether this kid...
And there's another red herring that shows up at the memorial where everybody lays the flowers and the teddy bears down on the front lawn or something in the... Loki sees this guy and chases him, can't catch him, but it's a complete red herring. Well, sort of. He's sort of involved, yeah.
Yeah, I would say very involved.
Yeah, very involved.
And then there's another layer of, like, there's this priest who he stumbles upon who, like, killed someone and has, like, a body in his basement who he said was, like, a pedophile and, like, child abuser.
And wanted to kill himself, or he couldn't. He said, because I can't not stop. And so Loki, because he's checking out all the pedophiles in the area, and goes to this priest and finds the guy drunk, and ends up finding a door behind a refrigerator, and it's like a root cellar, no stairs. He gets down there and finds this mummified body of a guy tied to a chair.
Great.
And there's a story. You know it has something to do with the story, but you're not sure what. I was guessing along the way, because you get these little tidbits. Oh, I see. He was this. He was, whatever.
And that's kind of what, if I'm going to nitpick this movie, which I wouldn't really, because I think it's just phenomenal overall. I mean, from direction to performances to story. But with the story, like, there's like several pedophiles in this town who are all sort of connected in a way. And I don't know, like the way that it was presented, I don't know how to like explain it exactly, but like, it doesn't quite hit that nexus point where it all kind of makes sense to me. And I'm guessing that was intentional. It was supposed to be left ambiguous, but I don't know. I just wanted like a little bit more of like, what is the maze all about?
Right.
What's this book all about? I don't want the whole story, but like, just give me like a little bit more to like kind of make it make sense.
What was the maze all about? Was it just that symbol?
It's just that simple. Well, there was this book about, that the FBI book, and like this was the page in the book that's an unsolvable maze. And so I think the unsolvable maze could represent, like, man's struggle to figure out his place in the world. I mean, I don't know, like, whatever you want it to be. Like, because these people who abduct kids are, like, they're said that this is their war against God, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why are you warring against God? I'm assuming you were also...
Right.
Abuse somehow, right?
In the end, that's what we find out.
Right.
You know, but to me, it was like they were all prisoners and they could never get out.
Right, yeah.
Of their own making.
Right, but you're right, exactly. Yeah. So,
you know, like Hugh Jackman's a prisoner of who he is, his kind of right wing, religious, cultish kind of thing, you know.
It's funny that we all assume that he's right wing. He's definitely right wing, right? I mean,
of course he is.
He's not, actually, I'm very liberal when it comes to homosexual marriage and marijuana. Like, I don't think he's
no.
pulling that out.
No.
He's transgender? Sure. Equal rights? Yeah, probably not down with that. But yeah, so the movie kind of comes to a head where so they find this guy, the guy who's at the red herring. He was at the what do you call it? Memorial.
Yeah. He was there in the street when they're runs so, away from Jake.
Right. He gets caught at a mall buying children's clothes. They pull him in. Jake goes to check out his house. Finds a bunch of trunks with snakes.
That I had to stop.
What a touch, right? What a thing that like
you.
Wasn't expecting that.
Like Indiana Jones. Why'd it have to be fucking snakes?
Why does it have to be snakes?
Yeah, he opens this locked trunk and sees bloody clothes and goes to lift one up and there's a snake underneath. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't either.
And there's mention later of snakes and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, these guys got snakes put over them when they were kids. So he's I don't know, that's his trauma. That's what he's dealing with. That's his prison.
And he's walking around the room. All these snakes are crawling all over the place. Not me. I'd be in there with my gun shooting them one at a time.
Well, he's thinking that there might be a body. Dead child in one of these crates.
Yeah.
Because they are that perfect dead child size.
And they find bloody clothes that belong to the two girls. So yeah, he was involved in it, or he was stealing stuff.
Yeah, he was faking it, right?
Right, right.
He was recreating the trauma that he experienced.
Right, right.
And you know,
and the blood turned out to be pigs or something.
Yeah, and we can say the same thing is true about Hugh Jackman. He's recreating the trauma that he experienced from his shitty father. And so that's kind of the point. We're all just kind of reliving the story from our childhood that we keep telling ourselves.
Right.
So. Yeah, so he gets found out to be he gets brought in, shoots himself in the head.
Yeah, somehow grabs a cop's gun because Jake's beating him up.
Yeah. Really took the L on that one, Jake. Especially after you just told off your captain. And then you didn't let that shit happen. The captain comes in and he's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. It was funny.
We find out this dude's a fake. So, Paul Dano gets found out. One of the girls gets found. She escapes. And Hugh Jackman quickly realizes that she was at the house that he was at visiting Paul Dano's mother.
Because the young girl says, you were there.
You were there, yeah. He's like, I haven't been anywhere. I've been one place in the last week. And so then also Jake thinks he's going to his dad's old place. That's where he finds Paul Dano.
I like it that we never see...
The Dano rescue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the end, we never see the Hugh Jackman rescue.
No.
It just, all of a sudden, there's Dene's name directed by...
Okay, so the Dano rescue definitely happened, right?
Right.
But, why do you say that? What are they going to do? Bring him out, put a blanket over him, and they slowly walk him to the car? Who cares, right? Now, the Hugh Jackman rescue, originally they filmed it where he was rescued, but... But in the original script, they didn't want that. The original script was just what we saw. But they just filmed that he got rescued just in case the studio was we don't like ambiguity.
But don't you think he was rescued because he kept hearing the whistle? And that was the whole thing, was the whistle.
I mean, I would assume
which was his daughter's whistle.
Right. Based on what we know about the Jake Gyllenhaal character, you would assume that he would...
I liked it because I see he just kind of gave a look he's interested. Keeps hearing this whistle. And it just... Yeah, his character would not let that go.
Right, but then you would have to but then it helps you imagine what does it look like?
Right.
When he's looking down in the hole and he sees him and he's like, yay. Huh, here you are, huh? I just came from a house where you tortured a man for a week.
I'm going to torture you for an hour.
I don't know about that, but definitely an awkward conversation in that rescue.
But I think that, because I could imagine... And I'm glad they didn't film it that way. I mean, I'm glad they didn't put that in a movie. I like the ending, the way it ended.
I mean, Hugh Jackman,
it makes you think about what happened.
Hugh Jackman's character, definitely going to jail.
Of course.
Prison.
Has to.
I mean, he tortures
the character. Others probably too. Huh? Although, I don't think Terrence Howard and Viola Davis, they didn't do anything to him. They just watched.
I mean...
They helped.
They're not innocent.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so I don't know, anything that you want to say about the plot before we move on?
No, it's very complicated.
Yeah, so
a lot of red herring, a lot of things that a lot of things that mean stuff, but you don't know until later, that kind of stuff. So which makes it much more interesting.
Yeah, I call that well crafted.
Yes.
So one thing I want to say about the direction that we haven't already said is that I feel like this movie does. So noir, classic noir, it's all the black and white, and it's the shadows. This movie used suburban lighting so effectively.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're oftentimes moving around these houses that have just your typical porch light or even the intruder lights that come on. but they were all so like, it was like this dimness mm-hmm. that felt so like vulnerable.
Even the town had dimness.
Yeah. I just felt like when they were walking around the backyards, it was like lit up. It's like the backyard. It's like, man, like this doesn't look safe at all.
Right.
Like you think you're safe because you have a little porch light, but no, like this, these dudes are running in and out of your house. And
I don't remember even because they're on the street a few times. I don't remember the streets having lights.
I just remember the Christmas lights, which made me think like girls are abducted a day ago and you're putting up Christmas lights, but whatever, people love Christmas. But yeah, I just love the way the lights were used in like the nighttime scenes of like just like moving through like the suburban area. I just thought that was just like fantastic.
Yeah.
And then also like just the color palette throughout the whole movie. Like it's just like always gray and just like there's a tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
and there's a, you know, that one scene where he's driving to the hospital, you see the red and again the windshield wipers are going and you see, you know, it's just fantastic. Whoever did the lighting in that movie did a great job.
Good job, buddy. Yeah, Matt, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about it.
No, it's a wonderful movie, but not for everybody.
So I'll let you guess the score, but I will tell you it's in the top 250 on IMDb.
So it's got to be, I'll go 8-1.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Exactly 8-1. We have 649,000 people checking in.
Wow.
So yeah, this little scene movie. This is a movie that you watch, you're like, I'm compelled to write a review on IMDb about this.
Right.
So yeah, like I usually do, I'll give you like its neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So 185, Stalker, 1979, never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
186, Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm, we've seen
that little movie.
Mm-hmm.
187 Z, 1969. Oh
yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, it's that was nominated for Best Picture, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or Best Foreign Film. Yeah.
Okay. 188 Prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
189. I feel like this is way overrated. I couldn't even make it through this movie. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, please.
I watched on the airplane. I fell asleep.
It was fine, but it's not. It's not an 8-1. Come on. Wes Anderson, okay.
Hey, Royal Tenenbaums, fantastic.
Yeah, but come on, do something new.
Hot takes, man. You're spitting the fire today. And then 190, The General, 1926.
Oh, Chaplin. Okay. Oh, no, it's Buster Keaton.
Okay, I mean, that's just people liking old shit. So, anyway.
Buster Keaton was much funnier than Chaplin.
Okay, you're in another hot take. Matt is spitting the fire today.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it's an 8-1. Do you want to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I'm gonna go 9-8.
Oh, whoa, no. Tomato meter, 253 reviews, 81.
No. What's up? It's not a critics movie.
What did they watch? Hold on, let me see if I can find a bad one real quick.
Oh my god. That's incredible. That's like a 7 in IMDb.
Yeah, this is crazy. Okay, so here we go. This is someone who I usually, well, not usually, I sometimes like. This is Wesley Morris from Grantland.
Oh, yeah, I know. There he is.
This is negative. Jackman is still in his phase of high masculine misery. Yeah, that was the point. The entire performance is an exclamation point, and he swings it like a baseball bat. Yeah. That's
the character
I liked about it. Oh my god, this is wild. I thought it was gonna be like in the high 90s.
That's why I guess 98. I thought,
oh my god, this is
so wild. Where were the little people now? What was the other score? Nine or eight?
Oh, hold on a second. I'm gonna see if I can find another like negative review from a reputable, because I take a negative review from like, you know, efilmcritic.com or like the Sacramento News and Review, which, you know, whatever. I'm sure
NBC 7 of
Flavor Wire,
Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, I can't find anything that's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the little people, the audience, also not super high. It was I'm still loading. Dude, 87.
That's incredible.
Wow, over 100,000 ratings. How do you watch this movie and you just go, eh?
It was okay.
What the fuck, like?
I have no idea.
Like, this, again, the scene where Viola Davis comes in,
mm-hmm.
begs this dude
mm-hmm.
to, like, just tell her where her daughter is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that, like, that minute.
It's really the only scene she has anything to do in, and it's fabulous.
I mean, just that.
Yeah, yeah.
This, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we'd just be like, Jake Gyllenhaal eating Chinese food
yes.
as an opening scene.
And talking to the waitress, so what sign are you?
Yeah,
what,
right.
What are you? And, you know, and he says, oh, my, you know, can you get my your boss to lower the price? And he goes, no, he's a rooster.
Right.
And I was thinking of Gloria, who was a rooster, brags about being a rooster.
I mean, it's just like that little stuff. It's like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
can you not watch that and just be like blown away?
And you don't even know who he is.
Right.
And in the beginning of that scene, you don't know. He may be the kidnapper.
Right.
You just, don't know he's a cop.
Right. And also, this movie gets at least like 0.1 on my scale for the fact that he committed to wearing a buttoned-up shirt all the way to the top with no tie and a suit jacket usually. It's like, what a look. What a look.
And his shirt was too tight.
The shirt was way too tight.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't fit, Jake. He looked like he had a little bit of a paunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little bit of paunch, Jake.
That was, yeah, I kept thinking the whole movie, he looks really cool. I mean, different.
Right. He's got that slicked back hair mm-hmm. with the kind of shaved on mm-hmm. the sides.
Right.
Like, yeah, he looked like a former criminal
yeah.
who's now a cop.
Mm-hmm.
God, man. Well, I hate people.
What was the consensus? Do you have that?
Okay. It's Prisoners is a really shitty movie. No, I'm just kidding. Here it is. Prisoners has an emotional complexity and a sense of dread that makes for absorbing and disturbing viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Not really selling it.
Mm-mm.
Man, don't read the reviews. Don't read
only Kate Stables only listen to
or,
us.
Yeah, yeah. Just listen
don't
to
listen
us.
To these other fools. Listen Wesley to, Morris.
He doesn't know
fuck
what he's
him.
Talking about. I mean, Wesley Morris. Like, was it like masculine misery? If that okay, if you're watching a movie and you're thinking about masculine misery, I don't know. We're just on different wavelengths.
Sounds you
know
like mean? He doesn't like Hugh Jackman.
Well, it sounds like he yeah. doesn't like masculine misery, yeah. which is what. Our, this whole month was built on.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not every movie can please everyone, I guess, but god damn, I'm very disappointed
yeah, yeah.
with the Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, we both really love this movie. So.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them fools.
No. All right, so palate cleanse.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, is it really a cleanse? Okay. We're going to do cancer comedies.
Cancer comedies.
I can't even remember what we're going.
I'm going to have you watch. They're both on Netflix.
Yeah.
One is a. So what are we doing? We're doing Other People
Other
starring
people.
Jesse Plemons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the. What was the other one?
I can't remember now. Oh, my God.
The Ray Romano one?
Yeah. Oh, Pendleton? Pendleton?
Paddleton.
Paddleton with Ray Romano.
Yeah, so Other People and Paddleton, both on Netflix. Both just, I assume, they're going to be just very small, quiet movies, funny movies about just people dying of cancer.
No torture, except for the torture of having cancer.
Right. So you have some light cancer fare. Okay. Well,
all right.
Maybe we're just terrible people.
I don't know. We love noir member, but kind of glad it's over.
Yeah, let's shift from masculine misery to medical misery.
Right. We saw some good movies.
We saw some great movies.
Yeah, 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 we did. So, all right.
Peace.
Bye.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I'm not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
Jane, what'd you do here in effect to count boners?
It's fun.